from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I think I have to reach over and grab the mouse that Joe was using over here for the call screener, because I want calls today to talk about these Buffalo Sabres. July 1st. Rabbit. Did you say rabbit this morning when you woke up? You forgot!
I saw your tweet at, like, I don't know, probably like 6:15, and I was like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know when you tweeted out, but it was like early this morning.
I would have forgot. I woke up. My wife was already up, and she goes, rabbit. And I'm like, whew. So then I did the same thing to Max. Max in studio with me today. He's sitting in here. We got some things going on this afternoon. He's off from school. No camp yet. We got that stuff going on. So he's just sitting in here, chilling out. He said rabbit, too, when he woke up.
I'm disappointed in myself. I'm going to get it one of these months, and it's going to be like the best month ever.
Well.
Because I'm going to remember to do it.
The biggest reason why I wanted to do it, too, was maybe this brings the Sabres good luck, right? It's Monday morning, July 1st. We do not have a great history of July 1st here in Buffalo with the Sabres. I was thinking this morning about this. It still stings 17 years later. Drury and Briere. I mean, but we're to a point now where 17 years, a lot of people don't even kind of, like, younger people might not remember much about that. Like you. You were not even a teenager yet.
No, but I vividly remember it.
You do?
I had a Drury jersey.
Oh, man.
And I just remember finding out that my two favorite players will not be coming back to the team. It was, like, heartbreaking. Because, like, you're coming off a President's Trophy and Ryan Miller being great and all this great stuff, and then you lose the heart and soul of the team in the same hour. Like,
yeah.
It was just, it sucked.
I remember it, too. I remember it well. I was not living here. I was living in Florida. But, yeah, that was a tough day. And we don't remember fondly on July 1st here because of that day. I mean, there's been other things. They did sign Christian Ehrhoff. You guys talked about that this morning. Was that a July 1st signing? Was it 2nd?
No, that was a June 29th signing. I actually found the tweet
from the day
the Sabres traded for his rights. They traded a 4th-round pick to the Islanders for the rights to Christian Ehrhoff, and they signed him, like, that day or the next day or something like that. And, you know, that was the big buzz and everything like that. But for some reason, that tweet from 2011, the replies won't load. There's like six or seven replies that are just lost to the internet, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I would love to see what people were saying about it back then.
And when was the Taylor Hall signing?
That was weird, though, because remember, it was like during COVID and all that, I think. Remember, because was like right before the COVID-shortened season started. I remember I was in college. I walked into a dining hall, and like seven other people all like looked up at the same time after looking at their phones, and we all like made eye contact. We all realized what was happening, and we were all like, Taylor Hall, and everyone just like started freaking out and stuff. Like, that was exciting, at least, but...
See, that would have been... Joe asked this morning... If the Sabres were to sign Stamkos, like, it'd be the most stunning thing since what? To me, it's Taylor Hall. Like, that was kind of out of nowhere. I know there was the connection.
There was
Ralph
no
Kruger,
rumors, though.
But yeah, we had not heard that, like, they were in on that, right? There was nothing like that from what I remember.
Right. Yeah. It was literally just Elliot Friedman saying, hearing Hall to Buffalo, just out of the blue.
I also remember the last time Stamkos was in this position before he hit market. And there were a lot of rumors the Sabres were going to, this is it, Terry Pegula's ready, they're going to go spend money, they're going to try and win, and it was going after Stamkos, going after Stamkos. And then he re-signed with Tampa, so what'd they do? Kyle Okposo. He was supposed to be the second best free agent on the market that year.
I mean, he was, yes.
Yes.
Like, for sure.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's not Stamkos, but yes, that's what happened there. Welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here with you. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We have a full lineup today to talk about what happened over the weekend with the Sabres at the NHL Draft and what's going to possibly happen starting in 1 hour and 54 minutes from now, which is the start of the NHL free agent period. In just a couple of minutes, Brian Koziel is going to join me, and we'll talk with him. He was on Sabres, you know, draft coverage, and of course, Sabres pre- and post-game host. We'll ask him about, you know, the weekend that was or wasn't, I should say, maybe in some ways, and also about free agency. And then Jeremy White. I'm not going to say brand new dad, because he's been a dad already for several years now, but Jeremy and his incredible, lovely wife, Molly, welcomed a beautiful baby girl into the world this weekend. Her name is Aurora Rory, and Jeremy is on baby duty, but also paying attention to what's going on. So he said, sure, I'll join you to talk about it, talk about the baby and coming home and being a dad of three now instead of two, and what's happening with the Buffalo Sabres. So we're going to get with Jeremy at 10:30. And then our Paul Hamilton's going to join us at 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I am curious from you today, though, just kind of your overall thoughts on where you expect the next few days to go, especially starting today at noon. Are you super optimistic that they're going to actually pull something off, sign someone, make a deal? Because you can trade, too, by the way. I mean, yes, I know a lot of the weekend was about trying to make deals and they didn't happen. But you can still make deals, especially if you have a free agent. A team wants a free agent. They want to sign somebody. They got to trade somebody else maybe to get rid of the salary. Or the Sabres could do that. That could happen. 803-0550 is the number to call. I can't imagine many fans are in that optimistic boat versus being pessimistic something will happen, because I think that's probably more where most will lie. I get that as well. That's probably the case. Why would you be super optimistic? Look what happened this weekend. I'll at least say this. I don't think it's for lack of trying. From everything we've heard from Kevin Adams, from everything we've heard and read from NHL insiders and reporters, they're trying. They've tried. But there is an aura around this organization that for some reason, players won't agree to come. And maybe even other organizations are not willing to deal with. And I don't know where exactly that starts, where it ends, why it is. We all have our theories. You can go from ownership to Jack Eichel's situation to Kevin Adams himself to the 13-year playoff drought. All of it. You can you can throw out whatever reason you think is right for this. But they can't get things done with anybody. And they're trying. Kevin Adams is trying. That's, at least I'll give him that. If you want to sit here and say that he's done nothing, that's probably right. I don't think it's for lack of trying from what we know. Now, part of it is out of his control and in the same boat as other teams, which is, to me, one of the things that's just been brutal in hockey. And I've said this for a while now, and you know it, and I'm about to say it again. These no movement clauses, these no trade clauses just stink. And I say that as a fan and a host and a city of a team that it is impacting greatly. Because if we were sitting here on WEEI in Boston or WFAN in New York or WIP in Philly, I'm not so sure that we're having that same conversation and we're thinking, yeah, this is great because nobody wants to go to these other cities. We'll take these guys. But here it is in Buffalo doing the show on WGR. And we know the reality of what we're facing and what's happening. And that is that players who have these no-move clauses, players who have these no-trade clauses, are not adding Buffalo to their list, are not clearing them or waiving them to go to Buffalo. And it sucks. So I blame partly the NHL, but certainly the Sabres have done this to themselves in a variety of ways over the last several years. The one solution, there is one solution here to do this. And it's not overpaying. It's not, I don't know, just, you know, going bonkers and overpaying in assets or overpaying in money for free agents. The one solution isn't going to happen right now. The solution is to start winning. That's the solution. And that's chicken and egg, right? Well, how do you start winning if you don't get these players? You should have enough of a roster and a pipeline here that you built over the last several years to at least, you know, take that next step, which is what the goal is now. That's how you start to change all these other things we're talking about. But that's not happening this summer. They're not suddenly making the playoffs now when they didn't for the last 13 years. I mean, they could this year, but it's not happening here on July 1. That's the solution. But you have to wait for it. They've done this to themselves in a lot of ways, but some of it's out of their control. I think Kevin Adams is trying to make something happen. It's very difficult, and now he's going to be pressed into a situation where most likely anything that does happen, he certainly is going to have to overpay for whatever that is. Let's go to Brian Colzio, who's going to join me now on the West Her Hotline, Sabres pre- and post-game host. All right. Let's start there, Brian. You and I were texting this morning. I understand that players have, you know, rights and they've negotiated this and CBA and why. I just think no movement clauses and no trade clauses have really hurt hockey on a fan level and an organizational level for so many teams, including the Buffalo Sabres now. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I mean, if you believe what Kevin Adams has to say about the frustration that he's feeling about trying to make deals and players won't waive their no trade or no movement clauses. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because there ultimately maybe could have been deals done, and ultimately the player in the end is the one that squashes it all. So I really also could sense Kevin Adams' frustration the other night, Sal. We had him on listening to his press conference after the draft, after night one. And them asking about, you know, not trading pick number 14. And obviously it had nothing to do with the selection that they made of 14, but it was all about the fact that not one NHL player was traded during that first round, where, you know, we were sitting here thinking of a player like Martin Natas from Carolina. Like, could the Sabres move him or get to him in a trade that maybe would involve that 14th draft pick? Well, not only did none of these players end up getting traded but because of that night, but none of those picks ended up being moved for any NHL player at all. And I think that was what probably most fans were coming into at least night one or round one of the draft thinking of, like, okay, look, the Sabres move back, they pick up an extra two. Maybe the one and the two can land something. Maybe the pair of twos could land something. Maybe a prospect and a one could land you something. And Kevin Adams was very frustrated at the end of the night. At least what he told us was that he was, you know, doing everything he could to try to see if something was to be made, and it wasn't there. And a piece of that, I'm sure, is some of these deals where the player has to agree to it. And, you know, I think you spelled it out pretty good. The Sabres themselves, because of years and years and years piling on of being bad and not making the playoffs, and for other reasons too, have a reputation that I would guess they're not attractive to come to. Now, everybody has a number, and we all do, right? At some point today, if there's a number that Kevin Adams throws out to a player that is something that they can't turn down, well, they're going to be a Buffalo Sabre. But I think they're going to have to work really hard. This 13 straight years of missing the playoffs and other, you know, good veteran players that have gone on to have success elsewhere, like, the players talk to each other. There's no doubt about that. Kevin Adams has his work cut out for him to get legit NHL guys to come here.
And look, people have asked about, you know, Lindy and how much that could help or hurt. Having Lindy, I think, would help more than hurt. I think that's for sure. You know, they have to convince a player that player is going to be a big part of them finally winning, and they're right there to win. And as I just said a little while ago, but without the results of winning, you may have to wait. You may have to wait until you actually do win to actually show the fruits of that, which you can't do here on July 1. I mean, it's been 13 years. They can all believe this. Kevin Adams, Lindy, the players. I mean, you could have Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck and Dylan Cousins calling free agents and saying, oh, dude, we're about to win. But it doesn't matter until you do.
You're right. It's the chicken or the egg theory here of like, well, if we bring the guys in, will we win? Well, we can't bring the guys in until we win. Well, what can you do first? And probably both seem very difficult at the moment. I think Lindy Ruff coming in does help. Let's face it, he's obviously had success now with three different franchises, the long time here with the Sabres, with Dallas, with New Jersey, at least for that one season that he did a tremendous job, and I thought unfairly got fired last year. So I think that adds an element that maybe he has connection throughout the league. Players that have played for Lindy Ruff, they talk to each other that could say, look, you know, going to play for Lindy is a legit thing. So I do think if Don Granato was still the head coach versus Lindy Ruff, I think that does put a check in their column. But they still have a lot of uphill battles to fight. You've got all these Eastern Conference teams. I feel like, geez, every time I refresh Twitter, oh, New Jersey's in on this. Detroit's in on this. Ottawa's in on this. Like all the Tampa Bay, a team that maybe we're hoping that falls back because of their age and the players that they may be getting rid of. And all of a sudden now they're, you know, making trades for Jake Gensel and signing big deals and moving cap space around, trading circuits. Like all these teams are making moves, mm-hmm. making maneuvers. And these are all these clump of teams that you feel like the Sabres, you would hope, would be competing for a possible playoff spot to get into right now. I mean, look what the Wings are doing, you know, getting Kane back. We're hearing maybe that Stamkos with the Ottawa connection there. The Devils have been rumored this morning for about four or five big name guys. So all these teams that are, I'd call them the middle clump of teams here in the Eastern Conference that you'd hope the Sabres could be with. We're not hearing a whole bunch about Buffalo involved in any sort of these things. Now, obviously, at noon, anything can happen here. And I'd like to think that Kevin Adams has something ready to go for this plan. That even goes back to Jeff Skinner. Like, what is the plan? I have no problem with the decision to buy out Jeff Skinner, but please tell me where his 25 to 30 goals, which I think if he played regularly, he would score again this year. I don't think he's just lost his scoring touch. We know he's not a complete player, but tell me where those 25 to 30 goals are coming from on a team that lost a lot of games last year because they couldn't score a big goal. They lost a lot of 3-2 games and a lot of 2-1 games that they should have won when they had great goaltending from UPL and Net. So tell me where those are coming from. I hope buying out Skinner to free up space was because he had other cards in a row. We'll obviously maybe find out that over the next few days here.
Just reading some of the things that have happened here over the last hour or so, some have already been reported and you know of, but maybe not. Jake Gensel, 7 years, $9 million with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Connor Brown going back to Edmonton on a one-year deal worth up to $1 million. That's Chris Johnston reporting all of these. Bob McKenzie, Dmitry Kulikov, former Sabre, going back to Florida $1.15 million, four-year deal, $1.15 million. And then the latest is Brett Pesce. His deal is finalized with the Devils. 6 years, 5.5. He's going to be 30 years old. I mean, that's you're overpaying for your own guys here at the same time to overpay. I would say, to me, it sounds like an overpay because of the term, right, on a 29-year-old guy. Maybe you'd think that the number is right, but that's what you're dealing with today.
Yeah, and I think the Sabres are going to have to, if you're going to get into the mix for bigger names, they're going to have to overpay because the attraction of these other teams, whether it's location, whether it's teammates that are there, whether it's success that they've had on the ice recently, all of those things the Sabres don't have. Well, what do they have an edge on against these other teams? Well, it's cap space. They've got the second most in the league, $32 million, essentially almost $32 million. So if they really want a guy, you can make the biggest offer if you want to. Now, that doesn't, again, ultimately guarantee that he's going to say yes to you, but at least Kevin Adams has that card. And let's hope that we're not sitting here thinking like, well, is he being handcuffed by what he's about, you know, what he's able to spend? Everything that he's always said on the record has said that Terry Pegula has never held him back in terms of money to be spent. So you have $32 million available in space. Take advantage of this fact. Understand, look, you may have to spend a little bit extra here and there if you're going to lure a free agent away from a different team. And I got to think again that Kevin Adams has to feel some internal pressure. Now, we don't know specifically what Terry Pegula has told him. We know they're very close. He says they speak every day. If the Sabres do exactly what they did this year and are, you know, kind of disappointing, they finished double digits outside of a playoffs. I mean, how many more of these free agencies and drafts is Kevin Adams going to get? Now, probably he's thinking he's fine. Him and Terry Pegula, they know, are tight. But from the outside looking in, you know, I mean, if you're a GM elsewhere, like this could, you could be clearly on the hot seat if you're not already. And it's a unique situation here with Adams and how he's ended up getting the job. So it's a little bit different. I can't quite, you know, give you a strong opinion of, you know, if the Sabres do exactly the same this year, would Kevin Adams be out of a job? I don't know. I think other organizations he would be. But here it's a little bit more different and a little bit more detailed with that. But he has to feel a little bit more pressure, which is why I'm still surprised that they didn't make a move with some of the draft picks that they had, the 2 seconds and the first. Because, yes, Konstantinos might be an excellent player, but will Kevin Adams see him? Will he be the GM by the time he reaches the NHL level? That, to me, you know, unless he's been told reassurances, which, again, that's no reassurances in sports. Anybody can get fired at any point there. I would feel like if I'm Kevin Adams, I've got this internal clock thinking, look, I've got to make this team ready to win now or as quickly as possible, because I may not see it when I have my future vision or my plan coming to fruition 3 or 4 years from now.
Brian Colesio on the West Hur Hotline. One more here, and then I want to ask you about the Duster Challenge coming up as well. You think that they're really going to try to make a run at Stamkos, even though we have heard the reports of him maybe being tied to Detroit? There's other teams. I didn't see the Sabres in the mix of teams that I believe might have been Pierre LeBrun or someone, Elliot Friedman, may have reported. But do you believe that they would at least try to make a run at him?
I would hope so. I mean, again, they have the space to do it. The proximity of him where he grew up, I mean, I guess they have that check in the column. The Yzerman connection is a strong one for sure. Detroit's, you know, they just re-signed Patrick Kane. That could be another person that could be attractive to playing with. You know, could coming here, saying, look, you know, you're the leader we need. Like, how do you paint that picture? You know, I put out a tweet yesterday about, hey, if the Sabres somehow got Stamkos, like, would he be the captain right away? Right. I got kind of about a 50-50 split on people saying, no, it would still go to Darlene, or no, it should go to Alex Tuch, or what. I mean, how do you lure Stamkos here to say, look, you're the guy we need to push us over the top. You're going to be essentially our leader. Is that something that he wants at this point in his career? I don't know. He's won multiple Stanley Cups. Would he like a challenge? Would he like to be close to home? Would he like to just go to a comfort zone with Detroit? I could see, you know, I heard New Jersey possibly could be throwing a ton of money at him too. I would hope Kevin Adams is in on this regardless. Do I think Stamkos ends up in Buffalo? No, I do not.
He is from Markham, Ontario, by the way. You say close to home, not too far away, obviously. All right, what do you got coming up? The Duster Challenge, the yearly Duster Challenge putting contest going on.
Yes. Thank you, Sal, for a chance to talk about this. So It's our eighth annual edition of this. Myself and our Tee to Green team, where we run a charity putting contest. We call it the Duster Challenge. And it's at Glen Oak again this year in Amherst. And we do, essentially, we set up an 18-hole putting course on Glen Oak's huge practice green facility area there. And I know you and Max did it last year. You guys have done it a couple of times. We have a tent set up from kind of area golf supporters. Callaway's going to be there again, giving you a ball balls to putt with and check out. Peter Gourmet is going to be providing the dinner this year, so you get a good dinner there as well. But it's all to raise money for PGA Hope. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's helping Patriots everywhere, helping our Patriots everywhere. And they are essentially military veterans in Western New York that are come back. Try to give them some sort of golf experience to help them get themselves back to what we would consider, quote, normal life, and, you know, helping them deal with the transition of getting back to normal life from serving our country. So it's all to raise money for PGA Hope. It's super fun. You get 18 holes of putting, and last year we had about 90 putters. We cut the field down to the top 16 scorers, and then we do little mini match play matches of 9 holes each to eventually determine a winner, and we award you the Great Hickory Putter Trophy at the end. We call you Western New York's best putter. But, you know, it's fun. We got music going. There's raffles. Got a lot of foursomes to give away for courses across Western New York that you can get in on. So
nice.
It's super easy to sign up. I'll tell you the easiest way. There's a couple ways, but just go to the top of my Twitter page, at BrianWGR, and the link is right there. It's my pinned tweet, and it's the link in the website spot there. So you just click on the link, and you can donate. If you can't make it that night, Friday, July 19th, you can donate to the cause. We'd love to have you do it. I know, Sal, everybody's been doing such great work across Western New York. We just had the ride for Roswell with guys from WGR participating. We just had the 11-day power play. I know a couple of guys did the 100 holes for golf. So this is just another great event that I feel like, you know, Western New York community comes together and all of our sports community comes together to do something great for a good cause.
Love it, man. I never even talked to you about the back-to-back hole-in-one. That's crazy. Holes-in-one.
That was insane. I mean, first of all, like, we were talking about it Saturday on the show, like, to have back-to-back par three.
Right!
That's a unique setup
yes.
on a golf course already.
Justin,
that doesn't
happen
very often.
Exactly right, yes.
Yet, let alone to make it and then make it. I mean, what's your next? Obviously, I've never felt this. I've never had a hole-in-one. But you make a hole-in-one, like, what's the next shot like? Like,
I know!
I can't tell you. I've never even done it. And to be able to watch that be in the air and think, oh, my God, am I going to make another one? And that goes in.
And it goes in.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I saw 67 million to one, maybe the odds. I mean, But the fact that they were back-to-back holes, that just makes the story even better.
Love it. All right, buddy, we'll catch up later. Thank you so much again. And go to BrianWGR on Twitter/X. You can find out how to register for the Duster Challenge. Always a great night. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it. Brian Koziol right there. We'll take a timeout. Jeremy White, a dad again. He's already a dad. He's a dad again. I mean, how do you say it? He's not a new dad, right? He's already been a dad. He's been a dad for several years. Anyway, Jeremy and his wife, Molly, had a beautiful baby girl this weekend, but he's still on Sabres watch and Sabres duty. He's ready to talk about them. So we'll talk about all of that with him when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them? Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rest.
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
He's a player that could, he could be there, it could be in Buffalo, Rochester, really anything's on the table. So obviously it's only been a little bit of time here since our pick was announced, but certainly something we'll get into right away with his agent and start that conversation.
Here's the big difference between, one of the big differences between the NHL and the NFL and the calendar and the draft and free agency. Like, we devote days and days to free agency and the NFL, and then we have a whole month to dissect the draft and get into it, and then talk about it, preview it, and then afterwards. Here, it's like all in one. So much so that I just spent a whole segment and didn't even mention the Sabres' first pick overall, Consta Hellenius, right? Is that how you say it? Hellenius. Thank you. The I is, I guess, silent there. And Beck Malenstein is who they traded for. We didn't even talk about that. Because you have free agency today. So you can't even talk about what they did over the weekend unless it was something incredibly major. Because you got to go right into free agency already. But we're going to do that today. And we're going to do that right now with Morning Show co-host Jeremy White, who joins me on the Wester Hotline. Congratulations to you and Molly. A beautiful baby girl, Aurora Rory. That's right. I mean, you know, Rory McIlroy, how much have you thought about that with the name?
A little bit, right? Yeah. A little bit. My wife's loved that name for a long time, going back as long as we've known her. We've named a couple kids here and there, but she's always loved that one, and we came back to that one this year. It was also the year we saw the Aurora Borealis here in Buffalo.
Wow, so I love that.
Yeah, so you know, little push that way. So yeah, we're thrilled, and it's already a scene here.
Where are you now, and is everybody good?
Everybody's good. I'm in my little studio in the basement. You know, COVID, we got the ability to kind of do stuff. By studio, I just mean we did our basement, and I've got a small room. My wife takes her calls down here. This is a little bit sanctuary from children screaming at you because we now have three that are under four. So this is a nice little hideaway that we can each work whenever we're really needed to. So, you know, in the coming weeks, months, I might have a couple more days where I'm working from home. But whatever, we'll see.
I have Studio Capaccio upstairs. You have Studio White downstairs. There you go. We have to do those things sometimes. Now, what is it like with the other two children you have and welcoming in a baby sister?
Very excited. You know, we talked to them throughout the entire process, and it's been really fun to watch how excited they are.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know, if you're 3 years old, it's kind of like getting a new present or getting a puppy or getting whatever.
Right.
But I would imagine the excitement wears off at some point, and then, you know, normal brother-sister dynamics or 3-year-olds wanting some attention, and there's a newborn in the house. Like, we're fully prepared for all that kind of stuff. But it's been really fun to watch them. You know, they're up playing in the room near her. They want to hold her. They want to see her. So it's pretty great.
Let's rewind a little bit to this weekend, Jeremy, and go back to what unfolded or didn't unfold starting Friday night. Some expectations the Sabres could, you know, make a deal. The 14th overall pick feels like, it sounds like they're even saying they tried to make a deal. They couldn't do it. So they wind up picking Consta Hellenius. And, you know, there's the reaction of, well, they didn't really improve the roster. And then, of course, the Blake Malenstein trade comes down. So how did you kind of internally process everything? Beck Malenstein, excuse me. How did you internally process everything they did or didn't do?
Well, it's interesting. Like, I've got a lot of different things, I think, along the way. I mentioned with Joe earlier this morning that this is all – it's a heavy lift for the Sabres. And since then – it's only been 2 hours, Sal. But since that conversation, I kind of have this question in my mind about Kevin Adams and the Sabres. You know, we knew – when they were going to trade Eichel and Reinhardt and kind of turn this in a different direction, they wanted guys that were going to that wanted to be here, and they were going to stockpile picks, and they did that really well, and they got good prospects, and they got guys that broke out like Tage Thompson. They recovered Rasmus Dahlin. Like, okay, things are on the right track. And you know, 2 years ago or last year off seasons, they could have pushed in a little more, and they were really patient, right? Oh, it's we don't want to go too far. And I can't help but wonder if right now what we're seeing is that the over-patience has cost you. Because if they, even though they might struggle to get something done with a lot of these guys, free agents or trade candidates, if they had been aggressive last year and added a body or two, and you want to say make the playoffs or whatever, it might have made a difference. If 2 years ago they had done that, the patience, you know, think of it like someone that's at an auction. And you're waiting. You're just going to wait. Your dynasty auction. You're just going to wait. You're going to wait. And next thing you know, you have money to spend, but you don't have anybody to spend it on because you were too patient. You needed to go in at some point. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. Watching teams like the Red Wings and the Devils be active. Last year, that was the case where Detroit was active, and they did not make the playoffs. But they looked like a team that was going for something, and they're right back to it, going for something again. So I wonder if the patience has been patience to a fault, and if they're not paying for it a little bit today.
Jeremy White on the West Her Hotline. All right, well, now today comes, and they have... Well, let me first, before I do that, let's get to Beck Melenstein. I mean, this is a guy that I'm really not very familiar with. I mean, you know, even Joe listening, I felt better when Joe said he wasn't even that familiar with him today. And I'm like, okay, this is a guy, Joe, you know, he follows the league closer than I do even. And I don't know much about this guy, but it feels like everything I've read about him is kind of the exact type of player we all thought the Sabres would at least try to land this offseason. So bottom six guy comes in, tougher to play against. No, he's not going to replace Skinner's goals. We know that. But what did you think about that acquisition and what they paid?
I think very little of it. I mean, there were other guys that got traded for second-round picks that appear to be much, much more impactful players. So that's the thing, though. Second-round picks, boy, Sal, like, you know, you and I talk NFL draft for months and months and months, and a third round pick is valuable enough for the Bills to trade with their arch rival, right? And they slide up in the third round, and we see value there. And even though we debate that, no one would debate that a third round pick has value and a fourth round pick has value. And in the NHL, man, even a second rounder, you see teams trade second rounders for mid-tier players. The Red Wings traded a second to San Jose to take a guy. Second rounders get thrown around like nothing. So I can't get too upset about what they gave away, because they also got a second rounder for next to free. But with Melenstein, I mean, you know, what are they looking for? Looking for bottom six. Last I saw in Gergensen's, and you know, this would be one spot maybe you can fill me in. I've been a little busy over here. But last I saw, they were waiting to see if he was going to go to free agency. So they're waiting for Gergensen's to decide, which means I think they want him back for another year. And you know, any sort of changeover of the bottom six, I don't know. I'm wondering what direction they're going to go. I'd rather talk about a top three and then a middle six and a bottom three. They want to get tougher to play against. Last time they wanted to get tougher to play against, they went out and got guys that hit and became a bad hockey team. So hopefully their definition of tough to play against is a little different than it was in the Tim Murray era when they decided, or you know, actually, sorry, pre-Tim Murray. That's pre-Tank. That's Rasmus Ristolainen and Nikita Zadorov and Steve Ott's on the team. And that was a tough to play against, right? We go back to when Miller got hit by Lucic and they decided to be tough. And they got a lot worse pretty quickly. So there's right kinds of tough. Not saying toughness is not important. Just hopefully they have the right kind of toughness in mind. And with, you know, the guy they got from Washington, Beck Malinson, like, oh, okay, we'll see. Eric Robinson was a guy that was going to play like this, and he stayed for 5 minutes. I don't know. It's shuffling. I don't want to say shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic. That's a metaphor that we don't necessarily need. But I'm unmoved. They're going to need somebody that can play, and there are going to be guys that sign and guys that play, and you might not love their age. Here's Chris Tanev just signed with the Leafs. How old is he? And I can remember, I don't know what year that Charlie Conway? No, he's the Mighty Ducks. Who am I thinking? Charlie Coyle. Sorry. Coyle went to Boston, and it was, he's too old. He's 29, and then he, you know, plays there for five, six years. So, I don't know. I think I'm with a lot of people kind of at a loss for what's going to happen, but hopeful that something does that gets us at least a little bit in on what their plan is.
By the way, Tanev, to answer your question, he'll be 35 just a couple months into the season.
And just signed a six-year deal.
Yeah.
Which is probably blatant salary cap circumvention. And there's one other thing that is frustrating. The Sabres, at any point during this time, could have been a salary cap dump team, like Arizona, where you give us draft picks to take your bad contract. And they've done it a little bit. They did it with Johnny Boychuk's rights. They did it with Ben Bishop's rights. But they never got anything of significance for taking these cap dumps. So at some point, you could have weaponized cap space, and they haven't done that either. And the real tough thing that might settle in as a reality on the Jeff Skinner buyout, we'll see. Like a lot of this is still we'll see. There's a lot of offseason left. But they save $7 million in actual cash, not just what happens on the salary cap. So if they don't spend that money on the cap, whether it's because they can't or because they didn't want to, then it just becomes a cost-cutting move and not a cap move.
Speaking of Zadorov, by the way, looks like the Bruins might be in on him. There's a prediction from Elliot Friedman that he winds up going to Boston, along with Elias Lindholm, I believe, as well. Here we go, right? I mean, like, that's the issue. And I've been reeling against this. I get it, Jeremy. Like, I understand that, you know, collective bargaining, you get to a certain point, you have rights, but just the no-movement clause, the no-trade clauses, I just think have, to me, that's the 3-2-1 for me, for you, right? Yeah, like, that's what it is for me in hockey, and it makes it so hard competitively for any team.
Yeah. Joe said, like, 22% of the players in the league have no trades. So that's difficult, but that means 78% of them can be had, and you can pay prices for some younger guys. You could have moved up in drafts. You could have moved, I guess, pieces for draft picks. It's tough to know what they could and couldn't do, what deal is on the table that they ultimately didn't take. You know, years ago, Jason Botterill's move was Michael Frolik for a fourth, which is not a big move, and that took months to actually get done. So I tend to think it's a fault of hockey GMs in general. They tend to be calm. But as all these deals get signed today, what I would do is take note of how many people outside of Buffalo are talking about contending teams. Uh-oh, that looks a little high for the AAV. Like, who cares? You know, a lot of these moves are made, and guys get signed to contracts that are a little bigger than maybe you think they should. But the Sabres have the room to do that. And, you know, we don't want to get to a space where we believe fully that no one wants to take their money. So whether they're being internally frugal or they really can't convince anybody, those are both potentially problems, and I'm not sure which one is worse, but you know they might be problems. Of course, like, all of this is couched with there's offseason left. You know, it's not over yet.
There have been at least some rumblings that they might try to kick the tires on Stamkos, convince him to come closer to home, maybe finish his career here or whatever, play a couple years. He's from Ontario. I don't know what that contract would look like, but is that something you think that they will try to do, and do you have any sort of chance of happening?
I'm going to manifest this into existence, okay? Here's how I'm going to do it. I remember when the Bills signed Mario Williams, and I said on the radio, I think the Bills have a better chance to win the Super Bowl than they do sign Mario Williams. And then they signed Mario Williams.
There you go.
So I think the Sabres have a better chance to win the Stanley Cup than they do sign Steven Stamkos, all right? Like, I don't think those two things are that far apart. Stamkos, why? Right? Why would he do that? Mm-hmm. I'd imagine he'll stay in Tampa. You can look at legacies of guys that have been Hall of Famers and, oh, yeah, that guy played in that uniform. I mean, it's not quite Michael Jordan to the Wizards, but I've never really thought this would be a plan that they could get done. Then again, they got Taylor Hall because they had Ralph Kruger. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out, but it was a big player that agreed to come to your place because he liked the guy. So you never know. You never know. Does somebody like Lindy? Is somebody ready to come on board? Maybe. I'm not even really nervous for Stamkos or watching it or anything, because I think it's really unlikely.
Well, we have two things with Nashville, and one is Stamkos. So we have a report from Pierre LeBrun, Jeremy. All signs pointing to Nashville being the front runner for Steven Stamkos. Nothing finalized. And then we have Elliot Friedman hearing Nashville has emerged as a serious contender for Jonathan Marchessault. So it looks like the Predators are going all in here.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to have been surpassed by so many organizations that we would have formerly turned our noses at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's, I mean, Utah did more yesterday and over the weekend than the Sabres did. And And are players waving their no moves to go to Utah? They might be. Or is just Utah willing to pay the price? The Sabres are not. So we used to turn our noses at Carolina and Florida and Nashville and everybody. And it's just there's really no one to look down on right now. I guess it's bootstraps time for Kevin Adams. They got to find a way. There's really no other way around it.
All right, buddy. What else? You're going to be kind of popping in and out this week, or what's the plan there? Is that fluid now with the situation?
I think so. I'm going to take leave coming up for a couple weeks. So right. once we get to Wednesday, I might be on a little bit. I mean, here's the thing, Sal. You know how this works. If something big happens, I'm going to want to come in.
Yeah.
Lindy Ruff got fired. I was in Syracuse at a Syracuse basketball game, supposed to be off the next day, and I said, I'm coming in because, you know, when you do what we do, if there's something big enough,
yep.
You want to come in. And with it being July 1st, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, I might, you know, pop in from home, pop on here and there, maybe an hour with Joe on Tuesday, Wednesday. But then once you get to July 4th, for me, it's paternity leave, parental leave, and then it's going to be see you at training camp.
Yeah.
And I will be sitting there at St. John Fisher, shaking your hand, ready to rock for a football season, which is very exciting. It's not that far away, right? We are in July.
Yeah.
So it's training camp month, and I'm excited for it.
No doubt about it. Real quick, what did you think of the back-to-back holes in one? How crazy is that?
Pretty crazy.
Amazing, right?
And I found out it's not the first time it's happened. It's the second time maybe that it's happened on a pro event, because there was another golf event that did have back-to-back par threes maybe in the 70s. So, yeah, the back-to-back par threes is part of the unique part of that to me. Like, maybe we'd get more often holes in one back-to-back. Not that much, but a little bit.
Thanks, buddy. Congratulations to you and your family.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you got it. Jeremy White right there on the West Her Hotline. You can catch him throughout the week at some point because he's got a new baby, and they're going to be he's going to be in and out with Sabres free agency going on and anything that happens, and you'll hear from him. I promise you that throughout the week at some point. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll kind of wrap up the hour, get to Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour, get his thoughts on the Sabres draft, the trade they made over the weekend, what to expect coming up here in what, an hour and 11 minutes and 10 seconds. We'll do it when we come back on WGR. You know, I'm generally with Paul when he says free agency in the NHL is not how you build your team. And I generally agree with that. But give me something, right? Just give me something today that I can go, okay, all right, we can deal. That's pretty cool. I just want to feel like I'm a part of the league, that people are making moves and signing players. I get that you're going to overpay this time of year, today especially. Paul has said it for many, many years. Signing free agents is not a way to build an NHL roster. I agree with that. It's right. Like, you build other ways. You can make trades. Trades are good. You can, you know, develop players. Develop, that's the best. Develop players and then make trades, supplement it, and then add a free agent depth piece here or there. But high-end free agent talent generally is not how you do it. I agree, and I'm not even asking for that. I just want to feel like I'm a part of the league today. That's what I want to feel like. And it just, there's nothing. There's crickets right now about anything dealing with the Sabres. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. It's a lot of their own doing over the last 13 years for whatever reason you want to give. But it doesn't... I don't think it's for lack of trying, as someone tweeted me earlier. Well, trying is not going to cut it. I get it, but what's your solution? You could change over everybody. It doesn't change the last 13 years. You can fire the GM and put a new one in. You can fire the coach you just hired, put a new one in. It doesn't change what's happened over the last 13 years and the aura around this organization. And while people are, you know, people want to come here or not, you can't just go pluck the best executives and coaches off every squad. Like, that's not going to happen. And they have to be available, too. So, yeah. It's chicken and egg. Got to win. Got to win for them to want to come here. But how do you get them here if you're not winning? I mean, it's squarely still on the people in the organization in the building right now to do this and sit here. And maybe a year from now, you're like, okay, they finally took the next step. Now it's a little bit easier. People see what's happening, and then you can bring them in. And that's, I think, what you have to have happen here. 10:56, we'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton joins us at the top of the hour, which is just a few minutes from now, and just a few minutes and an hour from now is the start of NHL free agency. We'll talk about that with Paul next up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You know, I'm generally with Paul when he says free agency in the NHL is not how you build your team. And I generally agree with that. But give me something, right? Just give me something today that I can go, okay, all right, we can deal. That's pretty cool. I just want to feel like I'm a part of the league, that people are making moves and signing players. I get that you're going to overpay this time of year, today especially. Paul has said it for many, many years. Signing free agents is not a way to build an NHL roster. I agree with that. It's right. Like, you build other ways. You can make trades. Trades are good. You can, you know, develop players. Develop, that's the best. Develop players and then make trades, supplement it, and then add a free agent depth piece here or there. But high-end free agent talent generally is not how you do it. I agree. And I'm not even asking for that. I just want to feel like I'm a part of the league today. That's what I want to feel like. And it just, there's nothing. There's crickets right now, but anything dealing with the Sabres. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. It's a lot of their own doing over the last 13 years for whatever reason you want to give. But it doesn't... I don't think it's for lack of trying, as someone tweeted me earlier. Well, trying is not going to cut it. I get it, but what's your solution? You can change over everybody. It doesn't change the last 13 years. You can fire the GM and put a new one in. You can fire the coach you just hired, put a new one in. It doesn't change what's happened over the last 13 years and the aura around this organization. And while people are, you know, people want to come here or not, you can't just go pluck the best executives and coaches off every squad. Like, that's not going to happen. And they have to be available too. So, yeah. It's chicken and egg. Got to win. Got to win for them to want to come here. But how do you get them here if you're not winning? I mean, it's squarely still on the people in the organization in the building right now to do this and sit here. And maybe a year from now, you're like, okay, they finally took the next step. Now it's a little bit easier. People see what's happening, and then you can bring them in. And that's, I think, what you have to have happen here. 10:56, we'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton joins us at the top of the hour, which is just a few minutes from now, and just a few minutes and an hour from now is the start of NHL free agency. We'll talk about that with Paul next up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.